Hello, we are Terra Nova, a horror podcast hosted by Kendall and Jackie, and here we talk about everything horror. And this podcast is specifically for you, the horror fans, and the non-horror fans. If you're too scared to watch the movies, it's fine. We talk about it, we discuss it, we dissect it, we laugh about it, talk about the good, the bad, and the tropes. And we have new episodes released Tuesdays bi-weekly.
And follow us on Facebook and Instagram at TerraNova_podcast. But also feel free to reach out through email at terranova.pod@gmail.com. And most importantly, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
And tell your dog too. Cujo.
Hello.
What's going on, Jackie?
It's global warming. It's hot. It's fucking hot. And it's not even summer. So it's spring, but we're getting summer weather.
This is the warmest 65 degrees I've ever felt in my life.
Oh my God, dude. I did errands today and I was like, what the fuck? I'm like sweating. Like, I'm just like, I can't with this shit. I'm terrified for a summer. When summer comes, I'm terrified.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just being in the house like all the old people I knew when I was a kid. That they just be like, you going out there? Make sure you drink a lot of water. That's going
to
be me.
Yo, dead ass. I'm like, nah, I have to be like in the AC or in the car with AC or something with AC. I can't. I'm going to melt. I'm going to die. I'm going to evaporate. I tell my kids all the time, I can't handle the sun. They're like, because you're a vampire? I'm like, yes. Yes, I am. But before we get started, because I'm excited, congratulations, Sir Kendall. He's officially married. Woo, 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 woo.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah, boy. It was a long time coming, so I'm happy we finally did it.
And I'm, like, very excited. I've known Kendall and his now wife for many years, so I'm just like, ha-ha. I'm like, oh, my friends got married. So cute.
I know, right? It's been a long time. Dear Lord.
Yeah. So I'm very happy. And I'm also happy because this episode is my choice. So,
Yeah, Jackie got the best choices, and I think this movie gave me a contact high, so it's going to be really funny to talk about.
And it's funny because, like, you know, preparing for this episode, I've been, like, on our Instagram page, putting little funny things. They're just like, can you guess what movie we're going to do next? And, like, yo, I fucking love our friends and fandom. Like, I really do. I'm just like, man, respect. Re-fucking because like, nah, for real, I was just like posting a picture or a gif and I was like, guess what movie this is. So Bad Critic, thank you for guessing correctly. Your Friendly Cat, thank you. Edgar, and When Reading, thank you for guessing right. Yes, it is Idle Hands. And like, I was chatting with them like, oh, this movie's so good. I was like, it's my favorite B-rated movie. I love it. It's my comfort movie besides Return of the Living Dead and Chucky and Scream, mm-hmm. and all that stuff. Like, I love this movie to death. This was like, this movie in general, like, before I get into the summary, like, this was a personification of my childhood. Like, this is it. I hold so close to dear to my heart that I literally was just like, one of the characters in the movie, I was like, that is me. That is me. And it was good to have representation for certain characters. And I was just like, I fucking love this movie. This is totally my aesthetic, minus the whole getting high shit. But this is totally my aesthetic. I fucking love it. Like, this is my...
Yeah,
like,
This movie is basically half-baked the horror movie. And I kind of appreciate that.
It is.
Because I enjoyed half-baked as well. So this is funny. If anything, this is an even deeper, like, cultural time capsule of a movie than half-baked was. Half-baked, I feel like, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that movie, but, you know, it's about them essentially getting high. And apparently Dave Chappelle said the story was actually supposed to be about a lot more than that, mm-hmm. but studios got involved, so that's one thing. But I mean, like, this movie though, like, everything from the music, the visual style, even the comedy, is it is definitely like looking into the past. Interesting to watch.
So for further ado, we are going to be talking about my favorite B-rated horror movie that I'm in love with. Like, I literally own the DVD of it. That's how much I fucking love it. And that is Idle Hands from 1999, directed by Rodman Flender. Oh my God. Okay, so Idle Hands. it literally centers around this guy named Anton. In the beginning, you see his parents getting killed. We're not really sure, like, from what or who, but there is a murderer apparently out and loose in his this suburban town. And so Anton getting up, waiting to get high, he's just like, oh shit, I ran out of my drugs, let me go hit up my friends. He goes next door. They're just like, we don't got anything for you. Like, is there anything else you want to do with your life besides getting high? Don't you have any goals, ambitions? And he was just like, nah, man, I just want to sit around and get high. That's my whole thing, just to lay around, just rest. So they start talking about different ways to get high. Freaking, like, mixing nutmeg with something, with oregano or something to make.
Yeah, with oregano.
And so he goes, and then he ends up bumping into the girl next door, who is a huge crush on Molly, who's played by Jessica Alba. And apparently she's like this girl next door who's really dark and grungy, and everyone apparently likes her. Anton definitely, like, has a huge thing for her and stuff like that. So, like, as they're going through this, like, as we're going through the story, like, you know, he sees her, she drops a book, he gives it back to her, he's like, he's literally me when I'm around a crush, where I'm just, like, high, and I literally run away. He literally ran away, and that's
he
me.
He threw the book at her.
I do that. That's what I do. I do that. That's me. I'm a socially awkward person. That is me. I would be like, hi, here, and I run away. And she's like, hey. Yep, that's me. I'm going to ignore you. I'm like, nope, that never happened. I'm blocking up from my mind.
Yeah, he's like she ain't said nothing. He just be walking away.
And as he's walking, you know, we also see his friend, Randy, who's fixing up his truck. He's listening to, like, you know, as my mom would say, devil music. And they're just going, he's making the mixture, trying to get high. It does not go well with him because he's, like, choking and dying. And while he's doing that, he's trying to make a sandwich. And I just love how this scene was shot, was when he's making the sandwich. And then you're looking at the music video from a band called TWO, which is a mixture of Trent Reznor and the lead singer of Judas Priest. The song is playing, and he's making a sandwich, and then he's not paying attention, but you as a viewer are watching what he's doing, and he ends up, like, putting mayonnaise mixed with blood in his sandwich, not fully understanding what the fuck he's doing, and then, boom. He's just like, what the fuck? There is blood everywhere. There's guts everywhere. He's freaking out. Like, he grabs the dog to investigate what's going on. I'm like, that's me.
Duke?
I did that once with my dog. I, like, grabbed him. I was hearing weird noises, and I grabbed him. I was like, let's investigate. So, like, that's me.
I love that he tried to save the dog, but not the cat.
He tossed the cat out
the
window.
He's like, dude, come on.
That was too funny, and he's just, like, freaking out. He's just like, what's going on? Oh my god, the killer's here. His friends come over, and he was just like, guys, the killer's here. Oh my god, my parents are dead. And the guys are totally distracted by MTV or whatever, playing music videos in the background. Yeah. He's just like, oh, here's the best part of the song. And then Anton was just like, bro, my parents are dead. Look at them. And then they start freaking out. I love when one of the guys are like, we gotta call 911, what's the number again? Oh my god. And so he goes, and without fully
fucking Seth Green,
oh, I love Seth Green, and without even being fully aware of what's happening, Anton ends up going berserk with his hand and accidentally ends up killing his friends. He puts a bottle into Seth Green's head. He freaking chases his other friend to the basement. He's like, go run, I can't control this. He basically buzz saws his head off with the buzz saw thing. And he's just like, oh god, no, what have I done? And then he goes to try to figure what's going on, and then he ends up bumping into Molly. And she's just like, oh, what's going on? Like, are you okay? And he's just like, yeah, I'm good. While his hand is, like, freaking out, trying to, like, find a way to restrain her or kill her. That whole scene was the funniest shit ever, especially when she invited him in. She was like, come in, let's just skip all the talking, let's just get right to it. And he's just like, uh-huh. Like, he's like screaming no, and the hand is making him say yes. And they go in, and he's just like, I'm dangerous, I'm this, I'm that. And of course she likes that. Freaking throws him on the bed.
I appreciate how weird Molly is.
again, Molly's me.
She's fucking weird.
Molly's me. I'm Molly. I related to her so hard. Like, that's fucking me. I used to have a book I used to write poetry in. That was me. I used to have that mixture of poems and art. And I was considered like the rebellious, weird, cool chick that everyone liked. And I'm just like, I'm just here living my life, man. But I just love how she just threw him and he's like grabbing onto her. He ties up his hand with her rope. And she's like, oh, that's so kinky. He's just like, yeah, that's me. What?
This man is covered in blood while this is happening. His shirt has blood all over it. He tells her he got in a fight with his cat. Like, she's like, well, it looked like it beat your ass.
She likes that, apparently, because they ended up, you know, having sex. So after that, she's just like, oh, my dad's home. Get out of here. I don't think they'll be happy with some dude covered in blood banging their daughters. So go. We'll see each other tomorrow. And he's just like, okay, cool. Still with the hand restrained. He's still trying to figure out what the hell's going on. His friends at the coming back from the dead, which I will say it's a reference to American Werewolf in London, because that happens too. When the guy kills his best friend, he comes back to life.
Oh, yeah.
And the same thing in Pet Sematary. When the dude, the guy dies in the doctor's like office and he comes back as a ghost to help him. That is such a reference, those two movies.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that, but you're right. That is definitely a callback to those.
Because I'm a horror freak. Anyway.
You're right. That thought just didn't occur to me, though, until you just said it. I'm like, ah, that makes sense. Because honestly, in my mind, once it happened, I was like, why am I questioning this? None of this needs to make sense.
So his friends come back to life, and he was just like, yeah, like we were going to go to heaven. We heard all the like, songs, the stuff and that, but we decided, fuck it, we're going to be here and stay with you. And he's just like, oh, man. I mean, honestly... If I have friends who died and they came back as zombies and they were like, yeah, we kind of gave up heaven to be with you, I would be like, that is like the most sweetest thing I have ever heard. Like, oh my God, I'm that special. You gave up heaven for me. Wow. True friendship. True best friend status.
In a way it is. So I appreciate it.
Yeah. And so they're just there. They're like, what the hell's wrong with your hands? And he's just like, I don't know, man. I just woke up. It's not myself. It won't listen to me. It's just going crazy. I don't know. And they're like, okay, you might have to talk to Randy, because Randy literally is a devil worshiper, all because he listens to, like, heavy metal. So,
yeah.
All because this is the Motley Crue. That's the only reason they say that. But they're like, okay, yeah, Randy would know. Yo, Randy cracks me the fuck up. Like, he goes to that funeral, he sees the girl crying, he was just like, yeah, that's so sad, oh my God. You know, I'm sure I can make... Are you still in high school? Yeah, I dropped out. Let's try to find a way to make you feel better. I'm just like, sir, that is illegal. What is going on here? He gets mad at Anton because he's like, Randy, I need your help. He's just like, you cock block me, you fuck. He runs. He goes in his truck and leaves him. And I don't know why Anton was just like, great, I got a thing with the skies. He wears the skies of the deceased exchange students. To take Randy's order to talk to him. He was just like, I need help with my hands. And he tells him, he was just like, oh, I was like you once. Yeah, idle hands is crazy. You gotta distract it. Idle hands is a devil's playground, man. And all while this is happening, we meet Debbie, who's played by Vivica A. Fox. And she's trying to figure out what this hand is, too. She has a whole mission of like, I gotta destroy this hand. This hand is devil sent. This is my job. I'm a priestess. I gotta destroy it. And she's just trying to make her way. And then she discovers that all the areas the hand has been traveling forms a pentagon in this one particular town. And she was just like, oh, hell no. I got to find this before this whole town goes to hell. Literally. So she's on a mission to find Anton. Before she knows Anton, she's like, I got to find this damn hand. So when that's happening, Anton's just like, okay, distract my hand. Cool. He takes up knitting. His friends are just like, you look so gay doing that shit. And he was just like, well, it keeps him busy, so why not? And then that only lasts for so long because then the cops come over and Anton kills him.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, it made me laugh with the cops. One of the cops is Roach from The People Under the Stairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's in so many movies, that guy. So funny. But, yeah, and then Anton thinks, you know what? I'm gonna get rid of this damn hand. He takes the freaking saw, cuts his hand off, thinking that's gonna do something, puts it in the microwave and fries it. He was like, good. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm great. I'm awesome. No. No. Because what happens, his two high friends, who are the undead, was just like, hey, let's heat something up. Let's open it. What bad can happen? The hand comes out. And he's just like, I'm sure there's nothing to worry about. And I'm just like, these little fucks, man. They let the hand.
I love how the man tried to use the bagel cutter, and his friend was like, that thing doesn't even cut bagels.
Yeah. They would know because they're always high and they're eating. They would know. But so they go. Anton finds out they let the hand loose, and he's just like, what happened? What's going on? He was like, yo, you know you scream like a girl, and also, what's the big deal? It's not a big deal. It's fine. You're free. But then he finds out the hand wants Molly now as a sacrifice. So they're like, okay, I guess we're going to this Halloween dance at a school. Let's go. And so they go. And of course, Debbie ends up meeting up, bumping into Randy. And Randy was just like, hey, they start talking about the hand. Randy's like, I know what you're talking about. I trust me. I know exactly what you're thinking, blah, 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 blah. And so they both decide to go to the dance as well. And of course, Randy is just like, this chick is hot. And I'm just like, it's Vivica A. Fox. How can you not find her hot?
Yeah.
Like, it's Vivica A. Fox.
Pretty much. That woman has an age. She's got to be in like her 50s now.
She's immortal.
That woman has not aged.
In my eyes, she's immortal. She's probably like 2,000 years old for all I know. He's immortal. But yeah, so it becomes a race to go to the school dance to save Molly. And of course, shit goes crazy. Offspring is performing. Lisa, your Offspring gets dead. Freaking his scalp gets removed. All hell breaks loose.
For those who don't know who Offspring is, you should definitely explain that. I feel like that's a deep cut.
So Offspring is like one of those like 90s. I don't want to say grunge, but it was like in that weird like grunge slash ska era where we're having like all those bands that like Sublime and all that stuff. And they were like in that era during the 90s. And the Offspring pretty much always sang about like the youth or how the world sucks or some shit like that. Like really good music. If you guys have never heard the Offspring, you need to give them a chance. Definitely listen to them. You have YouTube. You have Spotify. You have Pandora. You have all these other shits. Look it up. Search it up. Try it out. You have TikTok. I'm sure there's the Offspring song in there somewhere.
Yeah, they might have resurfaced at this point. You know, emo music is making a comeback.
Oh my God. Half my kids are just like, I'm emo. Like, you don't even know what the hell that means. Like, what the fuck you mean you're emo? Like, are you emo? I'm goth. It's two different things. How dare you? But
I don't know. We probably got some older folks who feel the same way even when we say it. Like, I know it's a bit off topic, but emo music wasn't really like our generation's creation, right?
It kind of was. Well, emo music kind of started out, I feel like, high school, entering college. So I think we kind of did grow up with that music. And it's funny because emo music was just...
We grew really up with it for sure, but like, would you say, was it originated by our generation?
I think it was. I think it was because, you know, we had like,
this is such a brick question, so.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember all the bands, like Hawthorne Heights, Aiden.
Yep, Hawthorne Heights.
Silverstein.
Yep, AFI.
AFI. Well, AFI started out as punk, and then they started doing a little bit of, like, not really emo, but kind of alternative music. So AFI's been in the game for years.
Yeah.
Dashboard Confessional was considered emo, quote unquote, but they just write songs about their feelings, you know, because why not? And
yeah.
I guess Linkin Park also kind of fell in that little bubble for a short time, and then they were like, oh wait, no, they're not all emo. It's like Linkin Park talks about their feelings, man, leave them alone.
Yeah, Fall Out Boy, Paramore,
yep.
All of them. Panic at the Disco
before it was just Brendan. People don't realize that. Yeah. Panic at the Disco used to be a band before it became just Brendan. Like
four of them,
it was, and then it just became Brendan.
Yeah,
and it was just really weird.
Those first 2 to 3 albums, classic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at us showing our age.
Hey, it is bad. It's funny. I remember one of my friends was joking that I think even you said it too, where you heard some younger kids be like, oh, I'm listening to old school music. It's like, what you listening to? Panic at Disco? It's like, fuck you, kid.
Yeah, I'm like, school. Panic at Disco is not old, at least for us. I mean, listen, my kids be singing Backstreet Boys. And I'm just like, what do you know about that? And they're like, oh, there's just like that classic song because my teacher plays it. And I'm just like, when they said classic, my heart just like, I mean, it's already non-existent but like my non-existent invisible heart just became even more non-existent. It went to an abyss that I didn't even know existed within myself. But I was just,
you start like, thinking about that old school cable channel where they just play like the classics.
Classic R&Bs. Like, yeah. If you call now, you get your money back. Listen to the smooth beats.
Word. It's probably a channel for that now, for just emo music. And they're playing like from Under the Cork Tree and shit like that, but Fall Out Boy.
Oh my god, yo. For real. Like, my Chemical Romance is also making a comeback. People are now learning about them too. They're like, oh, I'm so emo, MCR. I'm like, the fuck you know about that? Because, I mean, MCR was around when I was in high school. So, yeah. So, yes, emo music was around our generation. Because that was around high school.
Yeah, for sure.
So, we did make... Yeah, that was
Helena and all that. That video was my shit.
That's how I want my birthday to be, man. I want a whole funeral for my birthday. I'm going to be Helena. I'm going to be dancing around as a corpse. That's me, man. Yeah, I got to wear black and red by my funeral party. I'm being dead ass.
That video was so good. I believe you. Those videos were fucking fun, man. They were really fun. That was good. Yeah, Hawthorne Heights. I remember I bought their first two albums. Story of the Year.
Yes.
I loved Story of the Year.
Forgot about Story of the Year.
They were so good. There were so many bands at that time. This movie feels like that time capsule, too. Like, even though it came out in 99, like, and I think this is might be my first time seeing the entire movie. I think I've only seen pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie definitely fits in that time capsule of, like, that, just what the music was at that time. Like, it definitely fits it perfectly. Good Charlotte and all that, kind of like, it fits all of that vibe.
Oh my god, Good Charlotte, yo, I had their album. Oh my god, I was like so obsessed with Good Charlotte. I wanted to marry one of the twins, and then when they got married to one of the, like, the either Richie or Cameron Diaz, and I was like, wow, I was so upset. I was just like, damn, I didn't know they want the older women. Shit, sorry, I'm young, fuck.
Hey man, so lifestyles of the rich and the famous.
Lifestyles of the rich and famous. Oh, so good.
That video
so
just a hit. What was good. The one where I just want to live? The one where they was dressed up as fruit? That's one of my favorite videos ever.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. I forgot, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh man, these deep cuts. But I'll let you finish the summary.
This movie, man, brings that out of us. I forgot where I was. Oh, yeah, the party. The school dance. Offspring. Yeah,
party.
Yeah, Offspring is dead. Half the students are dead. Molly, her friend gets shish kebab by the fan. Trying to get out. Because her friend really was feeling Anton's friend with the decapitated. He put duct tape around his head. And he was just like, oh,
Foggy.
I can't move so much because my head's gonna come off. And she was like making out with him. And Sefker was like, oh, that's so gross. And he's just like, come on, man. I'm in my moment. I'm just like, that is kind of gross, man. That's necrophilia, but whatever.
Yeah, he was like, isn't that like illegal?
But she ends up getting chopped a million pieces by the fan. And then Sefker was just like, oh, I guess now you can finally say you were inside of her.
Yeah, he's like, you're definitely not gonna get laid down. Definitely.
It's hilarious. But yeah, so then it still becomes a race to find Molly and the hand, which the hand ends up kidnapping Molly, ties her up in the garage portion of the high school. Why they have a garage, who knows, like a shop, they have shop and stuff. So they put her on the platform. They're trying to find Anton's trying to find the hand. The hand is basically possessing all these puppets and all these little dolls trying to, like, kill him. And then he makes a whole, like, insignia on the bottom to sacrifice her to open the gates of hell. They're like, and Debbie and Randy are also trying to go and find, you know, the hands, because Debbie yelled at Anton for cutting the hand off. And she's like, are you stupid? And so that happens. The funniest thing about the ending of the movie is the fact that Anton needed strength, and his friends was just like, this is the only way he's going to get strength. He needs his spinach. They make this man, a huge thing of pot, makes him smoke it, inhales it so much, he ends up getting superhuman strength, kills the hand, saves Molly, but ends up sacrificing himself, and that's how the movie ends. the power of you know, weed apparently gave him strength. But then Ansel wakes up in the
That was fucking doofy.
Yeah, Ansel wakes up in the hospital. You know, Molly's signing his cast because his whole body is in cast because the thing fell on top of him. apparently, he also gave up heaven to stay with Molly on Earth because he loves her. And then the boys end up visiting him as angels. And he's like, yeah, you know, we're just here to watch you, make sure you're okay. You know, you're like your guardian angels or whatever the fuck it is. And he's like, oh, man, that's cool. Thank you, thank you. So they go. They just chit-chat for a bit. And then as his friend's about to leave, he's like, you know, we'll check on you. Anything you want, we'll go. They turn the lights off and they see I'm underneath your bed. And Ansel starts freaking out, screaming. And they're like, huh, he does scream like a girl. Wow. And that's how it ends. His friend's trolling him.
I just have to say, one of the weirdest transitions I've probably seen in all of cinema is in this movie. When Anton, after he saves Molly, and then they're like making out or whatever, and they step under the car, and then she steps back. His friends accidentally hit the button and drop the car on top of him, which for a moment makes you think that he's dead. But in this same moment, the gates of heaven open up and welcome his friends in. I was very confused in that moment because it almost looked like they got into heaven by killing their friend. It looked very.
I know what you mean. It's a
very weird transition.
I know what you mean.
It's a very odd transition. I was like, hold up, they get to go to heaven for killing their friend? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And then, like, they were like, he's alive. And I'm like, even if he lived, like, they dropped the car on him. Why did they get to go to heaven?
Well, technically, he was dead because they go back. They look back at him and they're like, Anton, you coming with us? So he was going to go, but then he was like, I want to stay with my girlfriend. I want to stay with my edgelord girlfriend.
Which makes it even funnier, though. It's like, so you killed your friend and you nearly got into heaven because of it? Like, I know that, I'm sure that wasn't what they intended.
I know, but that's what it looked
like. It is very funny.
This movie, yo, this is so ridiculous.
Something else. This movie is crazy.
It is literally an MTV. It's an MTV music video. Just like Queen the Dam is a orgy MTV music video. This one is like watching a Sublime MTV music video. That's literally what this is.
Yeah, word. And honestly, the more I think about it, I'm starting to think that's a whole genre of like, that's just what the era of movies looked like. It was just basically music videos, but like, with, you know, with a story. It was music videos with a story that was longer than 5 minutes. Yeah, I'm sure we could probably do a fucking whole compilation list of like movies that fall into that bracket because this is one of them. Like we said, Queen of the Damned, and a bunch of videos just thinking back to that time period kind of fit that gap where it's like music was just such a big part of it, even in horror and outside of horror.
Mm-hmm.
But music was just a big part of the end, like what that movie was at the time, that you kind of go, man, I can't even imagine this movie without music or without some of these songs, because it kind of fits it into that specific time period where you go, ah, I remember this. This feels familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for real. Like, oh my god. But yes. So you said what? This was like your first time finishing the whole movie?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen the entire movie prior to this. I think I've only seen pieces of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just always like, I think this is like one of the movies that you see on like TNT on the weekends or something. Like back when they used to even do that a lot, just randomly having movies just on cable. Like this is one of those movies that like I would walk in on my friends randomly watching. But I'd catch like the tail end of it and I'd be like, hold up, what the fuck is going on? Like this is one of those movies. So I think I've only seen pieces of it. I was familiar. Of course, I'm familiar with most of the actors and actresses in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I've only seen pieces of stuff. So I never knew what the actual story was. I didn't know why the hand was like possessed. I kind of still don't, but I was also like,
they never really explained it.
I just never saw the entire movie.
Like, I mean,
they really don't.
Vivica A. Fox character, she just explained that how she's a priestess and her family has been hunting this hand for centuries. It's like a devil hand. And it just possesses the most loneliest, helpless, stupidest, laziest people ever. And since Anton is always lazy, never goes to school, is just in his attic, getting high, sleeping till 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, and just doing absolutely nothing with his life. It's just crazy. I don't know. Subliminal message. Subliminal message.
Yeah.
Don't be a lazy ass, otherwise you get possessed by a demon hand.
Pretty much. I guess that was what they was getting at. So. My first time seeing it, this movie is bizarre. I felt like I was high watching it. I was like, that's what happened, but I don't feel like that's what happened. That's how crazy this movie is. I was like, this is fucking weird. I was like, this movie's terrible, but it's so bad it's good. Yeah. I had so many thoughts while watching this shit. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot how much I love Seth Green. He's great in everything. I always think of him as Oz when he was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. He was a werewolf. Oh,
I loved him as Oz.
And he like dated Willow.
Oh my god. He was great. I had a huge that was the first time I ever fell in love with Seth Green, was Buffy. Like, I had a huge crush on Seth Green. I still kind of do, even now as an adult. I was so in love with him. I was so devastated when they broke up, and I hated him so much for that. I was like, you ruined it, Oz! It was his fault they broke up, and I was like, you son of a bitch!
Yeah, and, probably one of the best TV boyfriends ever.
He was! I mean, he was a wolf. He was so loyal. So loyal to her until he met that other wolf, and he was just like, I'm sorry. My animal instinct kicked in. I was just like, you're such a man. That's what happened. It wasn't your werewolf instinct because you're a
man. That was just TV drama.
Yeah. I was so mad they did
that. They just did that to break Willow's heart.
I mean, for plot reasons, because then she became this high-end crazy witch, this grand witch with all this power. So I was just like, I guess she did need it that. Otherwise, we won't have this most powerful witch we ever had, Buffy.
Exactly. Still one of my favorite seasons of Buffy ever was that when she went evil. I still love the way she killed that dude when she just ripped all of his skin off his body. Mm-hmm. That was like the... I didn't think you could show that on regular TV. Like, even as a kid watching that, I was like, yo, I know what you can get away with in movies, but I did not think you can show a human with just tissue and muscles on TV. Like, that's wild. And they did it. They did that on Buffy.
I mean, Buffy and Angel were both wild. So they were both wild shows. Freaking Angel Claudidia got pregnant. One day they had sex, and then the second day she's just like, oh, I'm giving birth. It's just like, the fuck? How does that work? What the hell? And Angel was just like, demons, man. That's just how it works.
Demons. Yeah, she gave birth to like the demon who like took over the world.
Yeah, who happened to be Angel's son. And I was just like, what?
What? Hold on, but didn't she also give birth to that other demon lady? I forgot the woman's name. I think she's like Cuban. I think she's like Afro-Latino. I forgot the woman's name.
I don't remember.
But she's another motherfucker who does not age. I think she was in Suits and she was in a bunch of other things. But I think she was also in, what was that show about Josh Whedon? I think it was the one that Serenity was, the movie Serenity was based off of.
Mm, okay. Firefly?
I forgot the name of it. I think Firefly. I think she was also in that. Mm-hmm. I think she was also in that. I can't remember the actress's name off the top of my head.
All right. Yeah, I don't remember much. I mean, I think I fell off watching Angel, but I was mostly a Buffy girl. And then when Angel came out, I watched a little bit of it, and I was just like, wow, you left Buffy for Claudidia, even though Buffy died, and then came back to life. But then she was just like, there's like that Toy Story meme where she was like tired of Angel. She's like, I don't want to play with you anymore. And then went to Spike. He's like, this is my new toy now. It's my new friend. Yeah. And I'm just like, I see it, girl. I see it. I get why you went to Spike. I don't blame you. He has everything.
As much as I love Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that show definitely has some problematic shit. And that was one of them. For her to randomly end up dating Spike was just so random.
I mean, again.
On top of the fact that in one episode, he like basically tried to rape her. That show was very weird about certain things.
That is true. But then when she died and came back to life, she was wholly different. And then they had a whole thing. And then I was like, you know what? I don't blame you. He has the whole package. He's tall. He's British. So the accent gets me all the time. And I'm just like, oh. he's goth. He's punk. And I'm just like.
Gina Torres. That's her name. Gina Torres.
Oh, Gina Torres. I think she's Dominican. She's Dominican?
Yeah. Thanks or something like that. She's definitely a Latino. I'm not sure specifically which one.
Yeah, she's an amazing actress. But yeah, man, demon.
Oh, Cuban. It says Cuban.
Oh,
says
she's Cuban.
American and Cuban.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. but yeah, it's freaking Oz, man. Seth Green, yo. I mean, this was my first time also seeing Jessica Alba before she blew up. I think this was our first film, too. Because we never knew who Jessica Alba was before Idle Hands. And then after Idle Hands, she went into Dark Angel. And then she went on to...
Dark Angel.
That was my shit, man. Dark Angel.
I never got a chance to watch the whole thing, but I heard that was like possibly her best
role.
It
was so good. Again, for me as a Latina, that was where I saw representation at. Jessica Alba. I was just like, that's me. I felt so good. I was just like, that's me. I'm her. I'm Molly. but yeah, and then she went on to doing Dark Angel and then Fantastic Four movies and then The Eye and then a whole bunch of other stuff later on. Like,
The Eye was terrible.
It was a terrible movie. I'm sorry, The Eye, but I love you, but
I'm sorry.
That wasn't it.
It's not her fault.
It wasn't that her movie fault. Was not good. But it just wasn't it, girl. I don't know who. Yeah, I don't know who gave you the script. It's like, this is gonna be a great film. They lie to you, baby. It just was not good. They lie to you.
They probably just showed her the Korean or Japanese version
that the movie Japanese. Is
based off of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they probably just showed her that, and then she was like, this is a really good idea, and then they took out everything that made the movie good.
For real.
And then was like, let's roll with this. Yeah, I tried to watch it because of her, but I was like, yeah, I'm not enjoying this, so I pulled out very quickly. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. But, yeah. I remember I also watched Honey. That movie was like, looking back, it's not a great movie, but I remember when it first came out, I was like, oh, this movie's like kind of cool. Like, you know, when dance movies were a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, the Honey was like kind of alright, but yeah, honestly, I didn't watch enough Dark Angel. I've only seen a few episodes, and they seem pretty good from what I remember. I mean, like, if I didn't think of Dark Angel right now, I was about to say, is this her best role? Like, her being an Idle Hands, because the character is like really interesting.
Her character is so funny. Like, I just love how forward she was too with Anton, where she was like, let's just skip the snake around. Yeah. Let's just skip the speaking phase. Let's just skip all of that and let's just have sex. Let's just do it. Just get it over. Let's take off our clothes and just get it over with. And I'm just like, damn, girl. Like, damn. Okay.
I appreciate that, though. I would definitely appreciate that in real life. But I mean, like, I also appreciate that in the movie, considering when this movie was made, like, 99. That's still around the time of, like, American Pies and all that, and, you know. Mm-hmm. As much as I love American Pie, you know, some people do, well, rightfully so, some people do give that movie, like, a bad rap, where, like, you know, a lot of the time, the characters in it are kind of, like, or at least even of that era, right? A lot of time, the main characters, it was stories about dudes trying to get laid, which is cool, but then sometimes it seemed like they were almost, like, coercing women into, like, doing things. That's what makes, like, the original American Pie kind of sometimes questionable to some people, because they're just, like, it wasn't really a lot of consent involved. There was a lot of, like, tricking women into getting them naked type thing, so... For Molly to kind of like, and you know, oftentimes they also made the women kind of slightly dumb in those stories. Outside of like, I forgot the actress who plays Willow and Buffy. I forgot her name, but you know, she's in American Pie and she's pretty forward as well, which is like really funny because she's supposed to be like the
quiet,
sweet,
one.
Cuddly.
Yeah.
So she's very forward as well. So it's like she's breaking the mold, but like anybody outside of main characters usually tend to usually be like kind of written as stupid, so they're like kind of tricked into sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, for Molly to kind of be, like, the complete opposite of that and kind of fitting along the lines of, like, the girl from band camp is, like, kind of interesting. I like it. It's like, I can see why it kind of makes this movie a little bit more memorable. Because it's like, yeah, of course she's trying to get laid. But, like, she's also like, yeah, I like this guy. Like, he's fucking weird. But she's also kind of weird. And it kind of fits that they're weird together. It's just an interesting dynamic.
Again,
for a 90s
him
movie.
Covered in blood is about to turn her on. That's what did it. He was like, oh, you're covered in blood. Fucking hot. I like that. Come inside.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. It's like it's weird. The reactions from her felt kind of authentic, which is surprising considering what the fuck this movie is. But yeah, it feels like surprisingly authentic, and I kind of appreciate that.
I know, like when he grabbed her ass, and she was just like, "Oh, you have balls. I like that." I'm just like,
yeah. Like even that reaction was kind of like. I didn't see that coming, but you know what? Some women feel that way, so that's kind of cool that this works like that. And it's just interesting. Especially it was like a little bit more like she was almost more of the aggressor than him in some ways. Even though of course she liked her, but mm-hmm. You know he'd have been too scared to do half the thing that his hand was making him do. So it's kind of funny. It was just a really interesting dynamic, man, for a 90s character for them to kind of write him in the way that they wrote her. It's like really cool because, like I said, it's during that era of like American Pie and all that. And for anybody who was too young. To like truly understand what that era of like movies were like, we don't get movies like that no more.
We don't.
Like we just don't. Like there's no like road trips. There's no American Pies. What was the Euro trip? Like we don't get movies like that anymore. Where it was just friends being goofy as fuck together, going on crazy adventures, and it was like sometimes inappropriate but funny because it was inappropriate. Like, we don't really get movies like that anymore. So, for anyone who's not seen that era, they probably don't get why I'm harping on this character a bit, but that's actually, like, a big deal considering what that era of movies looked like.
It's true. It's true. And if you are one of the youngins who listen to us, because we do have youngins who listen to us, go watch those movies. There is the actual storyline of American Pie, there's a total of 5 films. There is American Pie 1, 2, 3, I believe, is American Wedding, right?
Yes.
And then American 4 is the reunion. So actually, there's 4 films. There's 4 films. So yeah, American Pie 1, 2, American Pie 3, the wedding, and then 4 is the reunion. The reunion one hit me hard because I was like, this is us. This is literally us, this generation. We grew up with American Pie. The struggles that we're going through with married life and children and all this stuff. And I'm just like, wow, that's us, man. That's our generation.
Yeah.
They made a movie for us.
It's funny watching those characters kind of grow as they did. Yeah, it's a really interesting time to like revisit some of those movies. Like I was having the exact same conversation with a few friends the other day where I was saying the same thing. Like that's something that's kind of missing in general from movies now, mm-hmm. is like that kind of comedy where it's like over the top goofy. And I'm being honest with you, I don't think there's anything wrong with that kind of comedy. Mm-hmm. I think the only issue for what it was is that they rarely ever did versions where women were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest issue with it. Like American Pie, they made a girl one recently. I think it was like 3 years ago. I think it was a Netflix movie. Mm-hmm. So they made a girl one. It was pretty good. But like, it's not the level of crazy that we had before, because culturally things have shifted. So it's not the level of crazy that we had before, but we should have gotten those movies back then where women were like just as wild, like, you know, getting the Hangover and all of that. There should have been women versions of that back then. And I think that we would just probably still have more of that kind of comedy if it was a little bit more equal about, like, you know, people being dicks or people just being weird about comedy. I think we'd have got a little bit more of that, because that's what this movie fits into. That it fits into that realm. Dude's just getting high, guy trying to get laid because he's like, this girl's awesome, like I want to date her because she's really cute and she's really awesome. And his friends are like, cool, like we know you like her, go talk to her, dude. Like, and that was always like a big thing in those kind of movies. And so it's kind of cool that this movie kind of reminded me of some of that stuff.
Yeah, I love when he tells her he read the book. And she's like, you read my book? And he's just like, I just couldn't help it. It's just so cool. And just, you're so great. And you're this and that. Like, I love this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, yo, Anton is so fucking cute. So adorable. Yeah. Like, oh.
He's the dude from Final Destination, right?
Yeah. That's him.
Yeah, the first one.
And that he's also the kid from Casper. That's him.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That's him.
Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Yeah, when he was like, do you trust me? You could be mine.
Freaking like, which Casper? The original one?
Yeah, the original one with the kid being a creeper, asking Christina Ricci if he could keep her. Like, can I keep you? I'm like, boy, you've been dead for like X amount of years. What's wrong with you?
You got all the deep cuts in this one. I forgot all about that. I ain't seen that movie in so long.
Again, these movies we don't think about when we're kids. We watch them now as adults, and we're just like, Casper, that's very inappropriate. Freaking whispering in her ears, like, can I keep you? Word. Can I keep you? Or like, he dances for her when he turns human. He's just like, I told you I'm a good dancer. Can I keep you? And he just looks at her, and she's like, no, Casper. And I'm just like, oh my god. Like, you're getting freaking wooed by a ghost. A ghost who turned to a human.
That's hilarious.
For 5 hours. He's just like, oh, back to a ghost. Let's have some fun. It's just like, you're a child. You're both children. Stop. I mean, you've been dead for X amount of years, but still stop.
Yo, ironically, whenever I think of Casper, I always think of, I think the last one that they made was Casper Meets Wendy.
I love that Hillary movie. Duff,
and she was a witch. I had that on VHS.
I love that
movie. Yeah, she had her witch aunts.
Yeah, because there was a whole thing that ghosts can't be friends with witches. Because his mm-hmm. uncles were just like, oh, they're evil, they're doing this, and her aunts were just like, oh, they're this and they're that, and they ended up like falling in love, the witches and the uncles, and I'm just like, this is weird, but okay, I'll take it, whatever. At least Casper and Wendy can be best friends now.
You might have to do that one in the future. That was a weird gateway one I used to watch as a kid on VHS all the time.
If we do that,
I had such a crush on Hillary Duff.
If we do that, we have to get Wendy. Talk about Wendy.
I bet we do.
I'm gonna ask Wendy, like, Wendy, do you want to talk about Wendy? Like, what?
Yeah, it was a really interesting time for some of these things, man. The 90s really had an interesting way about how I went about some of these movies and the horror genre and outside of it, just kind of how they fit. Because, like I said, this movie really does feel like the 90s, like everything from the use of music, of like how they do the love interest, how the lead characters treat it, how they talk about weed, how they even talk about like the music with like not Randy, the kid. It wasn't Randy, the one who was like listening to heavy metal.
Randy, who's listening to Motley Crue a lot, yeah.
Yeah, like the one, even the way they went about that, where like, you know,
Beethoven,
like, oh, he knows everything about Satan because he listens to this. And he's like, dude, this music, I don't know anything about them people. I don't know nothing about Satan. It's just music, which I'm sure was like an obvious callback to like, you know, the Satanic Panic and all that stuff. So it's kind of interesting how this movie kind of comes full circle in this fucking weirdness.
It's just so funny how Randy was so into the occult and stuff, and then he met Debbie, and he was just like, I'm in love. It's like love at first sight. Type of shit. I mean, again, it's Vivica A. Fox. How can you not fall in love with her?
Word.
And I gotta say, I love how she's been in the horror game for so many years. Like, I love that.
Yeah, she has.
Like, one of the articles I had shared between us, like, she has said specifically she loves the genre. She loves the genre. She just wished there was more representation of, like, you know, certain characters, which, I mean, we talked about before, you know, in the podcast, and also, you know, doing horror noir, when they talk about representation stuff, and it's true. Like, you know, it is kind of tiring when you see certain characters as, like, you know, the side character, the side friend who just dies all the time, and here, she's not a side character. She kind of is, but she kind of isn't. Even though the main story is about Anton, she is just as important as Anton is, because she has to fight this evil hand.
Yeah.
And she has a very important role in it. So she's not just like a throwaway character, say like Molly or his friends, which are kind of throwaway characters. I mean, Molly's somewhat because she's a love interest, the quote unquote love interest of the main character.
Yeah.
But Debbie is very important as Anton is because she has to defeat evil. You know, she has to help him defeat it and find it because that's her family's life mission. But I just love her. Like, I just love that she's a geek when it comes to horror and has a great appreciation for it and is always on board to be in them. I mean, she's been in all the Sharknado movies, for Christ's sakes.
Oh yeah, she has. I forgot she was in that. Wasn't she in one of the Halloweens, or was it Friday 13th as well?
I think she was. I don't remember, but yeah, she's been in so many like horror films. Like, she is definitely a scream queen we don't really acknowledge as much, you know, because we acknowledge all the other ones, like, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis or someone else, but like Vivica A. Fox, she's up there. She's a scream queen. She has her fair share of horror in her catalog. So we definitely have to give her dues and count her as a scream queen. She deserves that.
Yeah, definitely. She's been a lot crazy. I forgot that she was even in other stuff, actually, like other horror movies, honestly, until watching this. I was surprised she was in this. Like I said, I never saw the whole movie. So I was like, oh shit, Vivica Fox in this? Like, I was surprised that she was in it.
Yeah, like, again, she's just so amazing. I mean, the whole cast is just incredible.
Oh yeah, she was in Tremors.
Yep. Tremors.
Of course, Kill Bill, she was in that.
Like, she has a great appreciation for the genre. I mean, I'm sure someone's gonna be like, but Kill Bill's not really horror. It's horrifying if you're getting married and then you're killed by your husband. That's horrifying as a woman. So technically,
oh, for sure.
So, yes, it's an action film.
Yeah, definitely.
It's an action and revenge film, but it does have horror elements in it. So, sorry to bust your bubble, people.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I was thinking in general, like, now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, Vivica Fox, she does seem to really just love genre stuff in general. Because that seems to be the main things I remember her being in. Yeah, she's great. And, you know, Jessica Alba made me kind of, I don't know, maybe it was just the way the movie was shot. Maybe it was a time period. Maybe she's taller than I thought. She seemed really tall in this movie.
You know what's funny? There was someone on Twitter, I forgot who posted something, but they were like, why do short people seem tall in photos, but then you meet them in person and they're just short? Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, because isn't she actually short?
She is short. Jessica Alba is not really... I think she's average. I think she's average. But yeah, she's not really tall. I mean, she's not as short as me, and I'm fucking tiny as hell, but she's average. And I think it's because also, like, she was younger and slimmer, and also the camera angles made it seem like she was tall. Like, she wasn't a bitch. It wasn't, like, a big height difference between her and, what's his face? Devon, you know, who plays Anton. So, yeah, it wasn't, like, a big super height difference. But, yeah. Yeah, and also, I mean, it's Jessica Alba, man. I'll take it. Like, yeah, you're tall. She won't be tall, but I'll be like, you're tall.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It just caught me off guard because I was thinking of, like, honestly, the first movie that comes to mind whenever I think of her is Honey, because I remember that's probably her movie I've seen the most. Mm-hmm. I had that on VHS. I mean, I had that on DVD. I remember buying it on DVD. I was like, yeah, I wanted to see this. That's what I used to do, like, when DVDs, like, first were a thing. It would be like, oh, there's a movie that I wanted to see, but for some reason never caught it when it was in theaters or something. So, like, I'm grabbing it on DVD. And Honey was one of those movies. And I was like, oh, this movie is, like, pretty decent. You know, over the years, now people look at it a little differently. But I was like, this movie is, like, all right. And she just seemed short in that. She seemed pretty short in that. So, if we're looking back at this, I'm like, did she get shorter or did the camera make her taller?
That'd be Cameron. Because, you know, sometimes the way these movies are shot, angles. I mean, we kind of know a little bit of that for us. Because, you know, of, like, advertising and whatnot. The way cameras are shot, it gives a certain illusion about that. So it has to definitely be that. But yeah, again, Jessica Alba, yo. When I I saw this movie for the first time years ago. I was in, like, high school. Entering high school, I first saw this movie. I resonated so much with Jessica Alba, man. Her character, I was just like, that's me. Like, I had a poetry book. I really did. Like, I used to write poems. I used to always be called a weird, creepy girl, or, like, the, you know, the scary one, because I was very, like, scared to approach me, or, like, people just found me interesting. Like, that. So I totally understood it. And I get why Anton was so terrified of her, because he was... She had this whole reputation to her that she's, like, this hardcore girl who, like, you know, plays guitar and writes songs and all this stuff, and, you know, really into, like, you know, dark stuff and occult stuff, which you see her room, you're just like, well, she has swords, so I guess, but whatever. But yeah, man, like, I love this movie so much. It's my favorite thing. I'm so glad we finally did it. Because, again, this has been on the calendar, people, since we first started the podcast, and it's been jumped around so many times. Like, we'll do it this time now. We'll do it this time. No, we'll do it this time. We'll do it this time. And again, you know, things come up. You know, things change. Schedule changes. But this was definitely a movie. I was just like, we have to do this movie. So I was just like, you have to watch this movie. And again, I'm so glad that there's an audience that still remembers it. There's an audience that still remembers Idle Hands. There's an audience that still enjoys it, still talks about it, and I love it. You know, it's one of those movies that became a cult classic. You know, and it's unfortunate that it didn't really make a lot in the box office, because it was pulled. Because it was during the time of a really big tragedy that happened, the, you know, Columbine Massacre shooting. And so that's why it kind of became an occult classic. It went straight to DVD. But because it became DVD, that's kind of what made it so, like, memorable. You know, it's like one of those movies that you just talk about. You're just like, oh, shit, you know that movie too? And it's just so good, you know? Like, again, it's a soft spot for me. It's my comfort movie. It's my favorite, like, all time. I just love it so much. Like,
Yeah, no, I can see why. It's a really fun movie, for as weird and as goofy and as contact high as this movie is. It is, like, a really fun and weird, goofy movie that I can totally see why somebody would just throw this on to be like, you know what? I'm gonna just let that rock while I do random stuff and laugh at it, because it's just so fucking weird, but so good. It's so terribly good at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Like, fucking love this movie, yo. 10 out of 10 hands. Haha, get it?
10 out of 10 evil hands in particular.
Yes, and again, yo, shout out to the people who were just like, Idle Hands, when they were guessing right. You all guessed right. So thank you.
Before we get out of here, actually, wasn't there another horror movie that had a similar premise? But it was, like, you know, less comedy. I can't remember the name of it, but there was one about some dude who had an evil hand.
I don't remember.
I might have to go look it up, because I remember my father watching one when I was a kid, and I was mad confused by the movie. I was like, what the fuck is this? And I actually thought this was that movie for a second, because I couldn't remember anything about this movie from the title, but it wasn't.
Yeah, man, your dad had, like, the greatest taste of B-rated movies ever. Like, he really did have the great taste of B-rated horror movies. Like, I appreciated your dad so much for that, because, like, he just was a genius when it came to movies. Like,
yeah, because if it wasn't for him, I would not have seen Leprechaun in the Hood. Or Leprechaun in Space.
Leprechaun in Space.
that was Leprechaun crazy. In Space is fucking that hilarious. Was crazy. Like, God, whenever I think of that movie, I always think about the scene near the end where he gets really big and the first thing he does is look at his balls and he's like, my lucky charms have grown. That scene always makes me laugh. It's so stupid. I'm like, yeah, I don't know how we got here from the first Leprechaun, but here we are and I'm not mad at it. So, yeah, if it wasn't for my fault, I would not have seen a lot of these random B movies where people were just like, I didn't even know that existed. I'm like, I didn't know these were cult classics. These are just movies that were in my house.
Yeah, like The Dentist, The Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, The Ice Cream Man. You know how many people I mentioned that to when they went, hold on, what? And I remember yeah, I think it was like last year, was it before, when I asked you, Jackie, I was like, you heard about the ice, you heard, so you seen The Ice Cream Man? Jackie was like, yeah, but that's an old ass movie, how the fuck did you even think of that? I'm like, because my father used to always watch it, and sometimes I mention it to people, they act like I was in a fever dream, like these movies didn't exist. But these are real movies. Yep. The Dentist, the dude didn't even have powers as a dentist. It was just a white dude who couldn't handle stress. So he was taking it out on his patients and decided killing people on his off hours. Mm-hmm. That was the movie. Like, he wasn't supernatural. That yep. movie had, what, three movies? It had sequels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Like,
a lot of weird movies like that with just people with occupations killing people.
This movie is, oh God. So good. I just love the 90s, early 2000s. Like, again, they don't make them like they do anymore. I swear, if we're up again, you know how people love remaking movies? They love remaking them, whatever. I don't know. I don't know how I'll feel if they were like, hey, we're going to remake Idle Hands. And I'm just like, how? Because I know it's going to be different. It's going to be more scarier, more darker. And I'm just like, nah, leave it alone. It's stupid. It's hilarious. It makes no sense. Just leave it alone. Leave it the way.
Yeah, it works as a comedy.
I love when he's just like, yeah, there's a mass murderer, man. You don't watch the news. Oh, I hate that fucking show.
Yeah. That's how I feel about the news. Exactly how I feel about the news. Yeah, I don't know how they would remake something like this. Like, some things I feel like it just hard to remake because of, like, they were made for the time they were made. Mm-hmm. I guess you could update it, but I just don't know if updating it will kind of, you know, hit the same notes.
Yeah, because this is just a classic. I just love this movie so much. It's just so good. Yeah, any final words before we get out of here?
if your hands ever get too idle, just start knitting. So, you know, the devil don't start playing with your hands.
And you have to play Rob Zombie. That's all I got. You gotta play Rob Zombie songs. You gotta listen to music while you do it. That's the only way.
Yes.
That's the only way it's gonna happen.
That's all I got.
Love so much. Okay. So I watched it because I have a DVD. That's why I watched it. So for those who are curious or have never seen it, it's just like, oh, this sounds pretty ridiculous and funny. I wanna watch it. It is available to watch free on Pluto TV. It is available on YouTube. Yep. Google Play Movies and TV. It's available on Vudu. It's available on Amazon Prime Video. So if you have any of those things, go and watch it. You will not be sorry. And if you watch it or you've seen it before, please tell me. Please. Please. DM me. DM us through Terra Nova or DM me. Through my Instagram, you know, it's JM Style, whatever, and also my Twitter. I always share posts of my Twitter on Instagram, so hey, I am there. I'm always open to discuss all these movies that we talk about. But yeah, so until then, ooh, you ghost, goodbye.